T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And Overnight America continues. What a big hour last hour with Rich Rubino and also Johnny Rabbit. Good checking in with them on this Monday. Joining us now from the KMOX newsroom, Kevin Killeen. How are you, sir?
Good, Ryan. I'm drinking some coffee, and my wife and I just went to visit her mom, and it was like a scene out of old America. We all sat on the porch some distance from each other and just enjoyed the spring night.
Isn't that something? You drink the late-night coffee. How about that? You probably go to bed very late, if that's the case.
I usually go to bed around midnight, and if I only have a couple cups after dinner, I'm fine. I mean, I might have alert dreams, but I can fall right asleep.
You know, I've been following your reporting today, and I've seen some of the photos, and I've seen the video that you posted up, and I'm curious, can you tell me where you went today?
Well, I went to a homeless encampment, which on the riverfront, behind a flood wall, far, far north on Lenore K. Sullivan, and it was like a hidden little civilization. I've never been back there before. There were, you know, where the old casino Admiral used to dock, and it's now just an empty dock, and then you go all the way up to where the power and light building is. There's a flood wall there, and if you walk around the other side, there's this world that opens up behind all these scrub brush trees of all these colorful camping tents, and the ground underfoot is very fine sand. And it was such a nice day. I could feel the sand underfoot, and I had the feeling that I was strolling down to the beach in Grand Haven, Michigan, by the Bilmar. I mean, it was just, it was like a resort feeling, but there were all these homeless people with a campfire going, and they had all their tents tethered to the scrub brush, and they even had an American flag on a pole right on the edge of the sandy levee that drops down into the river. Mm. And I went at the invitation of Ray Redlick of the New Life Evangelistic Center, and he just happened upon me. I was down by the riverfront just larking around near the end of the day. This was about 5:30, and I was just watching the tugboats go by and thinking, well, the news day is over for me. And Ray Redlick says, hey, we're going to give some water to the homeless. Do you want to go see how the other half lives? I said, yeah. Mm. And it unfolded before me, this world of all these people who are, their whole life is about sheltering in place. And they are in this cluster of 15 to 20 tents with the campfire going. And a guy with a bare chest came up to us with a ball cap on, his man in his 30s. And his name is Lloyd Robinson. Mm-hmm. And he thanked the pastor who was giving out water and bologna sandwiches. And then I said, can I interview you? And I said, he said, sure. And he told us about how he washes in the river. You know, they get a bucket of water and wash a lot.
Yeah.
And they're concerned about the coronavirus in the homeless community. But another resident there, a woman of about 40 years old, said there's no place to go indoors where you can wash up anymore. She washes at those sinks that are put around downtown by Mayor Crewson. Mm-hmm. And they just get by, but they're, you know, they're very plugged in. You'd think that if you were a homeless, you'd be like Thoreau in the woods and you wouldn't know what was going on in the larger world, but they know.
It's so interesting to see this because it does look like when you first walk in there, it is like a hidden area. It's like if you're playing a video game, this would be like a secret level. So you go into this thing and you can see the different blankets set up in a way for some temporary shelters. You can see people cooking and just doing different things in this back area. And basically, this is home for them. How many people were living there?
Well, by the tents, I would say at least 15 to 20, but if there's two to a tent, it could be twice that. When I arrived, it was not very well attended, and we were told, oh, everybody's out doing the hustle. They're working the streets, you know, when they have "we'll work for food" signs, or they try to get some money for food or cigarettes or beer or whatever. So they were mostly gone to work. The homeless have to go to work, you know, and there were about maybe half a dozen there, and some of them zipped up their tents. They didn't want to be interviewed. But mm-hmm. I have to say they're all very polite. You know, my first thought was when they asked me, do you want to go to this place around the side of the flood wall here where nobody can see us with a bunch of homeless? I thought, well, this will make a good obituary. You know, at least I won't have to plan for retirement.
How long of a walk is it to a washing station? Do you know?
Well, it's like walking a good mile, I'd say, from...
Oh. Okay, it's not too far.
I shouldn't say that. I don't know if there's one on the riverfront, but if you had to walk downtown, it's a good mile.
Okay.
But, you know, they weren't complaining. They were just saying that this is just one more thing that they have to deal with. And this comes at a time when Mayor Crewson is trying to help the homeless. She's putting out the word that she plans to move as many as they can fit in an old care center in North St. Louis, the Little Sisters of Hope. On, was it New Florissant Road? North Florissant Road, 3200 block. It's a little bit north of Crown Candy. And they're also looking at a motel. However, you got to wonder, does the mayor's office even know about this secret society of homeless down on the river's edge? Mm-hmm. Do they have enough rooms if they wanted to give everybody a room to escape the coronavirus? Could they do it?
Yeah, and also makes me wonder, too, how they find out about this information. So did it seem like you were going into an area that is just separate from the rest of the world and you're breaking this news to them?
Well, it was news to them that the mayor is preparing to open some rooms for them with clean sheets and meals and hot water. They were glad to hear that. But they're very well informed about the coronavirus, and one man said to me, yeah, you just, you know, stay away from people that are coughing. But he said a lot of people have smokers cough, so you don't know.
Yeah.
There was another homeless community I visited more across from the Peabody Opera House, that tent city that's at 14th and Market. Mm-hmm. And they had a different attitude. Their self-proclaimed governor, Marcus Hunt, was telling me that some people might not want to go, that he thinks the 60 people living there are more protected from the virus among each other. He said, we're all healthy. And, you know, if we start mixing us up with a bunch of caregivers, then it changes the equation.
Well, it's kind of like you hear the people that are working up in Antarctica right now, completely separated from the rest of the world, and they're the ones that cannot get the virus because they are completely shut off from the rest. And that's how some of the people in the camp feel, as long as they're shut away from everyone else. But that kind of defeats the purpose. If they're going to go out onto the streets, interact with a lot of people, panhandling or whatnot, then that would be an easy way to spread it from an outside in.
Yeah, and, you know, there is a legitimate argument that the homeless could be like the typhoid Mary among us, if one or several of them were to get sick, and then in their daily travels, if they were to touch doorknobs, of course you can't go into a Starbucks now anymore, but mm-hmm. if they were to get into some sort of public building like a library, if were it open, it could spread that way. But at this point, we only heard about the one homeless man last week. I think you covered that. Who tested positive, didn't want to be hospitalized, walked away from the hospital, and they found him the next day. mm-hmm. agreed to be hospitalized. So we haven't heard about anything rampant among the homeless.
Wow. Yeah, and that is really a wild card when we're all talking about the models and how we're going to flatten the curve, and is this thing going to reemerge in the future, or how are we going to stay away from it? This is a huge wild card, because if it lays dormant and spread around for a while, if we think we get a nice little handle on this sort of thing, we start to go to normal, and who knows, maybe when the president says end of the month, we can even start looking at reopening certain things, or by the summer, who knows how long this could linger. And, you know, we saw the report today that even though you may contract the virus and you get rid of it naturally, about, 50% don't even realize that they get them. They just, you know, their antibodies or whatever it is are able to flush it out of their system. We're starting to see some of these people that were confirmed cases that shaked it are reemerging as re-transmitting or re-getting the virus in the future. So it doesn't necessarily mean you won't get it in the future. So that's where I think a lot of the homeless population could respread this if they don't know they're carriers of this. But, you know, it's good news that they're washing and they understand that it's important for them to stay clean, stay away, distance, things like that. It sounds like a lot of the tenets of what they're telling us is something that they're living by right now.
Yeah, I think they get it. And in a way, they... Well, at least on a day like today, when it's such a beautiful spring day with the trees just starting to leaf out, they're down there in almost like a resort view of the St. Louis River front with a tugboat going by and the mashed potato clouds up ahead, blue skies. It was just really a picturesque scene. Of course, they have horrible circumstances to be homeless, but if there's any good side to it, they've had a great view today on the riverfront.
You know, and this is an odd question, but you're sitting back, you're drinking some coffee on the porch, and you're just thinking about life, thinking the way things are, and there's a moment where no one's saying anything, they're just sitting back, relaxing, feeling the breeze. Did you ever wonder, I wonder how they're living on the riverfront right now? Did you think back to them and wondered what they were doing now?
Well, I did when I came home tonight. I only went down there today, it was just this afternoon. But when I came home, I thought, thank the Lord that I have a home. And, you know, we worry about getting the coronavirus or some financial calamity from all this. But the homeless, they're kind of like the A-team. They're dealing with calamity every day.
Yes. All right, Kevin Kleen, thank you so much for your reporting. I love hearing these updates, and you've been doing a fantastic job. Thanks for joining us tonight on Overnight America.
Yeah, Ryan, I look forward to the day when you're back in the studio and our schedules overlap, because you
honestly,
I always enjoy the way you come around the corner with a cup of coffee. Say what's
I know.
Going on.
I always enjoy when I go in and I see Kleen Blend written on one of the pots there, and I know, ooh, this is the good stuff. I'll enjoy those days again. Kevin, thank you so much for coming on.
All right. See you, Ryan.
He joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line, and you can follow along with Kevin Kleen's reporting at KMOX.com. And, you know, even if you don't see it today, check back in tomorrow morning. I think you'll see it, too. And you'll probably hear it on the news through tomorrow. But it's really remarkable because I can see these photos, and I know they'll be posting them at KMOX.com, and I see the video of them walking. It's just, to me, this is award-winning journalism that Kevin Kleen pumps out on a daily basis. All right, we're going to take a look at President Trump's press conference from earlier today, a couple of interesting moments from it. I do want to take your calls because we haven't really opened the phone lines yet today. So let's do that at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Well, hello to you. If you've been allowing us into your home, your car, wherever you may be right now, thank you for doing that. It's, you know, it's nice just to have the radio on inside the house. You keep the company, and hopefully I'm being good company to you. Let me open up the phone lines, and this is how you reach the show. 314-436-7900. You can call or text that line, and it's a lot more fun when you get to interact with us. In fact, there's a lot of other people that are sitting around listening to the radio, and they really enjoy hearing what other people think and the way they're feeling. They get that same special sensation, that sensation of knowing that they're not alone and you're out there with them. So feel free and don't hesitate if you got something you want to say. 314-436-7900. Let's see, where do I want to start? President Trump had about a two-hour press conference earlier. I think his part of it was a little under 2 hours. And day after day after day, we've seen him go out and have these press conferences with his task force, a lot of which he'll stay through the entire thing. Sometimes he'll duck out and he'll have his task force do the rest of the answers, question and answer sessions with the media. But remember just a few weeks back, I swear it is so exhausting when you go online and people say, oh, see, President Trump, he looks slow and he's stuttering and he's da-da-da, so he's definitely got the virus and he's hiding it and da-da. All these far-left conspiracy theories completely debunked when he goes out there and he could have no problem speaking for two straight hours answering questions. And it doesn't matter, though, because you still see over and over and over people misrepresenting the things he say, purposely misrepresenting, taking things out of context, and it just drives you absolutely crazy. So I'm going to play a couple of things from today, and you can tell that he was a little bit on edge. He was someone that was getting tired of the shenanigans and the way that some of these questions are being worded. People are just, they're done with it. They're like, okay. They got to understand, if you ask the same question 15 different ways, but you tried to misrepresent it 15 different ways, he's not going to have it. You're not seeing a polite President Trump at that point. And a lot of times he's very polite. I think he approaches every single question as if it's a honest question. But if he detects you're trying to insert a little bit of funny business in there, he doesn't have any of it. So he's going to push right back at you. So he's done with this. He's done. And I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. Well, where do we want to start? Yesterday he mentioned Governor Pritzker. Let me see if I can bring that up real quick, because Governor Pritzker became the talk of one of his press conferences. Okay, let me bring this up real quick. And this is from yesterday.
We've also sent an additional 200 ventilators to Louisiana, definite hotspot, 300 to Michigan, working very well, I think, with the governor. Amazingly, 600 will be going or have gone to Illinois. And, I mean, there's a governor, I hear him complaining all the time. Pritzker, I hear him, he's always complaining. And yet, I just said, give me a list of a couple of the things we've done in Illinois. And we're building a 2,500-bed hospital in McCormick Place. That's the big convention center in Chicago. And we're helping to staff it, and probably will end up staffing it, because he's not able to do what you're supposed to be able to do as a governor. He has not performed well.
So Pritzker gets a shout out from the president, and today he gets a second shout out. Let's see if this one's any better.
I think got some information as to a couple of locations where we're going to be delivering large numbers of ventilators and large numbers of medical supplies, and we'll take care of that. But some of the states are very happy. Even Governor Pritzker from Illinois is happy. Of course, he may not be happy when he talks to the press, but he's happy. He's a very happy man.
He's a very happy man. Oh, man. All right, so 2 days in a row, Governor Pritzker. So Illinois being one of those hot spots. Now, they're hotter than Missouri right now in the way that they are covering these cases because of the major metropolitan area. But all things considered, he's not in a really tough spot. Like, Michigan's in a tough spot right now. You have New York still in a tough spot. Louisiana's in a tough spot. They're all trying to find ways to minimize some of the different curves and the projections they're looking at, as the more that they test, they're seeing more and more cases start to come in. And yeah, Michigan's in a tough spot right now. So there's a few things that happened during today's press conference I want to get to, part of which is getting back to normal. People like to ask that question right about now. And here's one reporter asking it to Dr. Fauci.
About getting back to normal, you said you wanted to get back to normal as soon as possible. Will we truly get back to normal in this country before there's an actual vaccine that's available to everybody? How do you start lifting the restrictions safely?
Yeah, well, John, if back to normal means acting like there never was a coronavirus problem, I don't think that's going to happen until we do have a situation where you can completely protect the population. But when we say getting back to normal, we mean something very different from what we're going through right now, because right now we are in a very intense mitigation. When we get back to normal, we will go back gradually to the point where we can function as a society. But you're absolutely right. I mean, if you want to get to pre-coronavirus, you know, that might not ever happen, in the sense of the fact that the threat is there. But I believe with the therapies that will be coming online and with the fact that I feel confident that over a period of time we will get a good vaccine, that we will never have to get back to where we are right back now. So if that means getting back to normal, then we'll get back to normal.
Yeah. What is the new normal? Is that the question we're going to start asking? What is the new normal? What do you think is going to happen? Do you think we're going to get to back to normal in a month, 2 months, 3 months? What do you think? I mean, everyone really has a different definition of what normal is going to look like to them. To them, the new normal might be, well, I'm going to have to keep an eye out on washing the hands. I'll have to be better when it comes to exposing myself, knowing when there's certain scenarios where, you know, I got to bring hand sanitizer around. I might wipe things down more often. You know, I'll wash my hands better. I'll, you know, if someone coughs, I'll be more careful. Whatever that normal is, what's the new normal for you, and when do you think we'll get to it? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
And Overnight America continues. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Jerome just sent me a photo on social media. Ryan Recker Radio is how you could communicate. Play along. I posted a photo of me trying different configurations to my headphones. And you're wondering, how could there be different configurations? Well, you just go see for yourself. We also posted the first hour of the podcast up there, which you can go find at Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook. We hope that you can go follow us on there. I'm telling you, you'll like it. Let's take a couple of your calls before we play more from the press conference earlier today. And it looks like Jeff's been holding on. Welcome to Overnight America, Jeff.
Hey, good evening.
Yes.
One quick sidebar. Did you ever get that celebrity video you did a year back? Did she ever send that for that video?
Oh, what, the Rebecca Black one?
Yeah.
Oh, no, she didn't. We paid for it, and it expired, and we got our money back. And I said, oh, that's it. She's going to stiff us.
I got one.
What did you do?
Well, in case the convention in June doesn't happen, I did a video request for one of the celebrities that was on there, and I got it back in 2 days.
Oh, really? Who was the celebrity?
One of the actresses who played on Smallville.
Oh, that's cool. Did you think it was worth the money?
Oh yeah, it was worth it. It's going for COVID relief. So,
oh, I got you. Was this one of the Smallville actors that was part of the cult?
No, she played Supergirl a couple years later in the series.
Oh, I got you. I see. All right.
But
so,
the money's going for charity. So.
Yeah. So tell me about getting back to normal. We were playing that clip, and everyone's wondering what the new normal is going to look like. What do you think the normal is going to look like, and when will we get to it?
I don't know what it's going to look like, but if they think things are going back to exactly the way they were before this, they're wrong. That time's gone.
You think so? How so?
I don't know. I think we're going to, well, for one, the AMC may not make it, the theater.
That may go
under.
Yeah, some of these larger brands that you've seen go by the wayside, you know, the Sears of the world, the Toys R Us's of the world, things like that, non-COVID-19 related, sometimes it's just the time for people, you know, the trends and people's habits change.
I think a lot of these production companies are going to learn that streaming at home, people are going to be doing a lot more streaming at home after this, too.
They'd be more inclined to just pay $20 to watch it from their house than to go to an actual theater.
Yeah, it's been $50.
Yeah, well, that and a lot of the times you go and see a movie, really the local theater doesn't gain any money. They're making all their money on their concession stand, you know, the popcorn.
And people
drinks,
are still
going like
to be, and people for years are still going to be on edge about being in a packed theater.
Well, that's a big thing, too. I think that once we get a treatment and eventually a vaccine by next year, that I think people's habits are going to start to slide. I think people are easy to forget, but I still think just subconsciously we're going to be more aware of the way these germs spread, you know, what we went through, and I think more people are going to be inclined to make habit changes because of that.
And did you hear how they're revising down some of these doomsday models that they've been talking about?
Yeah, you know what? And I've been calling that for, I feel like, a couple of weeks, that I feel like they purposely were upplaying a lot of this just so they would try to get as many people as possible on board to socially distance. And that was their goal to begin with. I really never thought that, you know, we were ever in threat to have 2 million people die because of this. But nonetheless,
I think they were talking about 100,000 to 200,000 dead.
That's what they said from the coronavirus based on socially distancing. If we did everything that what we were supposed to be
and
doing.
And now they're even revising that down, too.
Yeah, and that's good. You know, I feel like I've been calling that this whole time, and that was my gut feeling on this. And sometimes you worry because you think you don't want to be overly optimistic. You don't want people
to be in danger. You just want to go day by day.
Yeah, but I just had this feeling. I thought, no, this just none of this really adds up. And I know I'm not an expert on it, but I tried to preface
even
it that
New
way,
York
way.
Is starting to look a little better today.
You know what's a win right now is when you don't see an exponential growth in cases. So if you're in New York and you already have a ton of cases and it continues to grow, that's a big danger. But if you find that it's kind of plateaued, eventually it's going to start dipping down, and that's a big deal. And that's going to really be a game changer for if you want to just look at the numbers.
Yeah, I got a feeling this will be over before we get those stimulus.
You think so? Wow. I mean, that's very optimistic.
Well, I'm just, you know, just the way, I was just trying to make a joke out of
everything. Oh, I see.
Everything. The way
I think everyone's waiting. I wonder when the first ones are going to come out. I say within 2 weeks is what they're trying for. So, all right, Jeff, hey, thank you very much for calling in.
All right, good night.
Here's the number, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And part of the question that they asked Dr. Fauci, when are we going to get back to normal? And part of his answer was, what's your definition of normal? So if your definition of normal is we're allowed to go back out, we can open commerce, is that the definition of normal? Or is the definition normal going back to the way we were? Because I don't think we'll ever go back that way. It's a big question. What is your definition of normal? And when will we get there? Let's go to Mike calling in. Welcome to Overnight America, Mike.
How you doing? Now, Ryan, I'm serious about this question you asked, and a producer to get a joke, but I want to tell you about the serious part first.
Sure.
That's my sister. Now, it's not Republican or Democrat. I just got to be honest. It's a real minister. Do I think Donald Trump are doing enough? No, I do not. It takes worse. But now, I'll give him credit for making an effort trying, but that's not good enough. And I was wondering, well, what could we do to make it better? Like somebody was out there, like real smart, like a genius or something. You know, they talk about vaccination. And just when you go to store, I get so tired of having to go to store, out of sanitizer, out of this. You got to have this. You got to march all around. And I got so upset. I wanted to hear Ella Cooper. I actually preached a message on Facebook, and I know a lot of people actually liked it. And my cab driver's a sermon. I was serious about it. And I got so mad about this stuff going on, you know, this virus and stuff, and nothing stopped, you know, like they say, the sanitizer and all these inventions they're trying to get. It's too slow. I think we can go back to normal. As a Christian, I put this on Facebook, not offend nobody, but I was really serious about it. I got stirred up when I preached. You know, I think the problem is that they never mentioned on Channel 542, and it's on Facebook. They never mentioned Christ. Jesus is the best sanitizer that I know you could get, and Jesus could fix this instantly if we let it happen. I also personally believe that God's punishing us. When we ever get back to normal, I don't know, but I sure don't like the situation it is, and I hope it gets a lot better. But anyway, I like to take this bubble joke. But you can see it on Facebook.
This really flipped very quickly. So it went from serious to Bobo joke very quick.
Yeah,
okay,
because
so
I would do what the producer said. Now, I'm not had a lot of practice on this, but see what you say. Now, Bow Bow was downtown. You could be anywhere. And he got in trouble with the law. They told him he was lottering. And Bow Bow said, no, I'm not lottering. And they said, well, how you say you're not lottering? You know, like they have these parking meters and or a place that park. And Bow Bow said, I just parked. I said, park, and I parked. Try to give me a ticket, but he says it was no lottery.
Okay.
He said he parked. So, in other words, he sat down.
You mean loitering? It's lottery.
Yeah,
I thought you were talking about like the
lottery. Like lottery around. Yeah. So you get a ticket, and I'm supposed to do that. So the excuse was he didn't drive. They said, well, you're sitting there. He said, no, I didn't. He's seen, park meters, and he's seen this one place went down there and seen a sign that said park. So I parked myself and sat down.
Yeah. All right. So producer Mike just told me that he's going to pop me down, and you have the rest of the hour. Are you prepared for that?
No, but if you guys ought to go on Facebook and look at me and laugh.
Yeah.
I say the Lord, you ought to see me on Facebook Live because I'm dead serious because I wasn't joking when I preached and hear that message.
Yeah, very good, Mike. Hey, thank you very much for calling in. Good to hear from you tonight.
All right. Bye-bye.
Lottering and loitering. I've never heard it lottering before. Loitering. It took me a minute there. You know, we might have to post that joke up on Ryan Recker Radio and see if we get some reaction, if that's funny or not. We could do a poll. Let's go to Scott, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America, Scott.
How you doing, sir?
Good. Good to hear from you.
Producer Mike is a very good guy. He really is.
Yes, he is.
And I've talked to him a couple of times, and he's a very good guy. And I just kind of let everybody know in the world that is listening to this on radio.com. Producer Mike is a good guy, but Ryan Recker is a really good guy.
You know, Scott, I don't know if you know this. Did you know President Trump mentioned Producer Mike today during his press conference?
I did not know that. No.
Well, here, let me play it for you so you can hear it.
Okay, everybody appreciates Mike. Special man.
All right, let me play it one more time. Take a listen.
Everybody appreciates Mike. Special man.
Yes, he is.
Everybody loves Mike.
All right, Scott, what's going
on?
What's going on, Scott? How are you? Tell me what's going on.
I'm pretty good. No, the thing about this coronavirus and stuff like that is people like us, you know, like guys that are going into surgery and stuff like that, you know, we're on the back burner and whatnot, which I understand, you know.
Yeah.
And, but they need a lot of beds. And it's scary, you know.
Yeah.
Not scary so much like for the person itself. It's scary for the people that are going in there, you know. And I don't know how that will ever work out.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to work out for us for like going in for a seizure surgery.
Yeah.
Or if it's going to go in for some sort of for another surgery, elective, which they call it elective surgery. But they need a lot of beds. They need a lot of open beds. And if you can do that, I would go ahead and say, let them do that first. But my goodness, it's scary. Because I don't know if I'm going to die either, you know?
Well, Scott, you know, you've called in before. You said you'd had some health issues. Have you been doing okay?
I'm having a lot of seizures. I'm having very many seizures. I'm taking the medicine and stuff, and I'm going to sleep at my certain times and stuff. But I don't know if I'm going to... They want to drill what the deal is. And this was before this coronavirus started. There's three drills in one side, three drills in the other side. And then they want to put these they're like,
when you say these drills, pencil. Are you talking about drilling where, in your head?
In my head, yeah. And I'm going to put it in my brain, and they're the size of like of a lead pencil, you know, and put them in my brain and just see where the seizures are coming from again. And then they want to operate on that certain area. But I can't do that right now because, you know, hey, there's other stuff going on, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I worry about this because it seems like this has really picked up pretty rapidly. I mean, it seems like over the last couple of months, it's really, really escalated.
And
I am
the only thing, that's the one thing about that. And, you know, you feel really, I mean, I feel horrible about these people that are having it, but sometimes there's some certain people, and I don't mean to be a jerk about this, that are scared about themselves, you know, with their own situation. And I don't want them to be hurt. I don't want nobody who has a coronavirus to be hurt, but my God, I had this, and I'm very scared about what could happen to me, too, you know?
Yeah. No, you know, and Scott, we care about you, too, here. We really do. You've been a long-time listener.
I do.
You've called in many times.
That.
Care about you a lot, man. So, you know, I hope for the best here, and I hope that, man, we'll be praying for you, and we know that we can pray that you'll get better, and we hope that sooner than later you'll be able to get that taken care of so we don't have to escalate this even further.
And you have been really good to me. And I got to tell you something. I just, all I want right now, because I'm taking the medicine and it's working good and it's really working good, but I want everybody that's got this coronavirus going on in their family or something like that, I just really want them to be good and I want them to be happy and well. That's it.
Yeah.
Well.
Good. All right, Scott. Good.
So you guys take care, and I'll let you go ahead with the other callers there.
All right, Scott. We'll be thinking
All
of
right.
you. Please,
thank you.
Don't be a stranger. Keep us updated on how you're doing.
No,
Thank you for calling in.
I will.
All right. We'll take some more of your calls coming up at 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. So part of this question is, and they keep asking this at most of the press conferences, when do you think things will be back to normal? And the answer is, we're never going to get back to normal. It depends what your definition of normal is. So my question to you is, what is that definition, and when do you think we'll get there? We'll take some more of your calls coming up on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
And Overnight America continues for the next couple of minutes. We're going to do a patriotic song at the start of the next hour, unless you're listening to this on the replay hour. So sorry, but that's okay. You could go back and listen on the radio.com app and just rewind a little. That works out pretty well. All right, let's get your calls before it's too late. And let's go to Dave first. Welcome to Overnight America, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to kind of spread a general message of don't panic. I think there's been a little bit too much of that already.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We've been through stuff like this before. Let's just be patient. Let the people that do this thing best do it and get on with it.
Yeah, I feel I've seen instances where people could panic and they haven't. I feel like most people kind of get it right now.
Yeah, you know, quit making runs on the store. There's only so much toilet paper you can use anyway. So let's just all have a... you know, button down where we are and take care of business, and let's get on with this. And that's pretty much what we got to do. Thanks for listening.
Hey, thank you very much, Dave. Good to hear from you. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Yeah, don't panic. That's excellent. I mean, that is a message. We're going to get through this. We're going to be okay. And that's one of the reasons we've been playing the patriotic song every night, just to show that as Americans, we're strong. We're going to do this. We're going to get through this. Let's go to Curtis. Welcome to Overnight America, Curtis.
Hello.
Hi, Curtis. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Ryan? Good. Nice to hear your voice again.
Very good. So go ahead.
Anyway, my thought on getting back to normal, I don't think it'll ever get back, in my opinion. For one reason, I was at Dollar General earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And the rules has changed. Parents can't even bring their kids into the store no more.
Oh, is that right? Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. And that's shocking. I mean, what are parents supposed to do with their kids when they're shopping? Leave them out there in the car?
Yeah, no, you can't. Some of the different grocers were talking about doing that. You can't have two from the same family, but I never thought that you would be restricted enough that you would be barred from bringing a child in. What are you supposed to do? Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, it's a scary world. If they leave their kids out there in the car, something is bound to happen to them.
Yeah. No, I get it. So did you have to wait outside to get in, or were you able to get right into the building?
No, I was able to get into the Dollar General. I went in, got what I had to get, and got back out. And another thing that bothers me, I went into Walmart earlier today.
Yep.
I had to get a connector for my phone so I could listen to my music through my tape deck.
Yeah?
On my phone.
On your tape deck. What kind of car you got there?
I got a Ford Taurus, 2004 Ford Taurus, and it's got a cassette deck, FM, AM.
Oh, wow. It's hard to find a cassette deck anymore. That's a keeper
there.
All right, so you went
like
in.
I feel like I'm driving a dinosaur car.
Yeah, I get it. All right, hey, thanks, Curtis, for calling in. Good to hear from you, all right? He's driving the dinosaur car. I like that. You don't really see the cassette decks. My son, I don't think, has ever seen a cassette deck. He's 5 years old. I don't know if he ever will use a cassette. Maybe he will. Who knows? All right, we're going to take some more of your calls coming up. What does the new normal look like? And by the way, I went grocery shopping today. I had to wait outside of the building, and then I had to wait my turn to get in. Someone would leave, and then one person would go in. Someone would leave, and then another one. And there was like three or four ahead of me. They were just making sure there weren't too many people in the building at any given time. More of Overnight America coming up next on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.